I'm Dean Jackson. He's Joe Polish. And this is the I Love Marketing Podcast.
This episode, you'll learn three principles for creating share-worthy videos, how to experience more happiness and inner fulfillment, how to be ultra-spiritual, 12 and a half steps to spiritual superiority, and more with J.P. Sears, Dean Jackson, and Joe Polish. J.P. is one of the featured experts at the Next Genius Network annual event and is the author of How to Be Ultra-Spiritual. He helps people heal, eliminate self-sabotage, and live more meaningful lives using a unique approach blended with comedy and seriousness. If you would like access to the full interview, the show notes, and the special resources for this episode, please visit ilovemarketing.com/295. That's ilovemarketing.com/295.
I'm Dean Jackson.
And I'm Joe Polish. And we have a very special guest today. And special, you can interpret that word in many ways, but he's the author of How to Be Ultra Spiritual, J.P. Sears. 12 and a half steps to spiritual superiority. So what I'd like to talk about today, JP, is how to be superior. And at least give the appearance that you're, you know, like, let's teach people how to fake it till they make it. And even if they never make it, if they can fake it, they're hopefully superior.
Yeah, and I think a well-deserved achievement of faking it is one convincing themselves that they've actually made it, and even better, convincing others that they've made it.
Right.
Because, I mean, if there's one thing easier than actually going out and doing it and making it,
right,
it's just convincing yourself and other people that you've done it.
Yes.
So,
and then really the epitome of that is getting other people to pay you to join a group so that they can feel like maybe someday they'll make it too.
Right, yeah. Like we've just been doing.
This
so,
is great.
So here's the deal. We've spent the last two and a half, close to 3 days together. We've spent the last 2 days in Genius Network, and you were awesome.
Oh, thank you.
We did a interview on the first day, which was yesterday, and you weren't doing comedy, although you're always funny, but you were...
Thank you, Joe. Codependent enough. Here's what's interesting. We're going to spend 45 hours dissecting what just happened there.
Right.
You and I are so codependent. I love that.
Right.
So you said something, which was a compliment to me. I'm narcissistic enough that I need to take it that way.
Right.
But you waited for me to compliment you about the compliment for me.
Yes.
Because you're codependent and I am too.
Yeah.
And now we've screwed this whole thing up.
Take two.
I digress. Go for
it. No, so... You said some really profound stuff, and when, you know, you really bonded with the group. And, and Genius Network is the highest level marketing group in the world, and the people really loved what you had to share. And one of the cool things is we, you know, you have a new book that's out, but which I do want to talk about. But for people that listen to I Love Marketing, they're interested in building and growing a business, an enterprise, a cause. And so they, for some godforsaken reason, there's such a lack of talent out there that they look to me and Dean to somehow give them direction, confidence, and capabilities so they can somehow improve their lives. And for some reason, it actually works.
Yeah.
I mean, because we have people that have become millionaires just by listening to our I Love Marketing podcast, which is bizarre. And it's great to have you as a guest because you have been able to accomplish something very few have been able to do, which is build a huge following, millions of people, using genuinely funny but also useful humor in order to accomplish things that I'd rather ask you to describe why you do what you do and how you do it. And I'm hoping... that during this episode, Dean, for people that listen to I Love Marketing, is a very sarcastic, very demeaning sort of person. So
yeah,
if there's any way that during this you could kind of lower his status while raising mine without him knowing that's happening, while also delivering some really good personal development along the way, I would love that.
I drooled a little there because of that.
And who's Dean again?
Hey guys, over here.
Hi, Dean, welcome to the podcast. So, okay, so, beat Dean down, raise you up. I'll do my best.
But we don't want anyone to know that except the people that are watching on Facebook Live.
Gotcha.
Because we can edit this other stuff.
Well, let's focus on being ultra spiritual. What Joe doesn't understand about this is that I have an internal frame of reference, and I don't need others to build me up for my sense of self-worth. This could really be like a therapy session for us.
Right it is. Well, this
in the presence of somebody be. So ultra-spiritual.
It's not that it could be. This is. This is actually happening right now.
Is this an intervention?
Right.
Is that what's happening?
Right. Yeah, this is happening. Oh. So let's talk about you. So who the hell is J.P. Sears? And now, people that follow J.P. know who he is. He's a really funny, awesome dude. Yeah. For people that so don't know who you are, how would you describe yourself?
Yeah, you know, the past 15 years, the predominant modus operandi in my career has been doing emotional healing work one-on-one and leading retreats, workshops. And there's other dimensions now. You could call me a YouTuber, speaker, performer, and author now. Handsome redhead
triple
as well.
Flat.
Beautiful blue eyes.
Oh, thank you.
Dolphin-like.
Yes, that's true. Majestic dolphin.
Majestic dolphin.
And so the heart and soul of me doing what I do, you know, helping people help themselves through comedy as well as sincere offerings. Mm-hmm. You know, the heart and soul is helping people heal their lives and find more purpose and meaning. That's what's most important to me.
Well, and by the way, our good friend JJ Virgin is the one that first introduced us. So I wanted to do a shout out to JJ. And you are speaking at this year's Genius Network annual event, which those that don't know, this is the highest level marketing event to ever take place in the world. And it's not just marketing, because we're going to have people like Gabor Mate. Dr. Gabor Mate is one of the top addiction doctors, specialists in the world. Tommy Rosen. We got Randy Zuckerberg, which is Mark Zuckerberg's sister, who I'll be interviewing on stage. Dean Jackson, yes. Yes. Well,
who's Dean?
Who's Dean Jackson?
I just like to look at you because I'm intimidated by Dean.
So anyway,
I get it.
But you know, you are creating quite a name for yourself. I mean, you've now entered the realm of celebrity. And when we went out to dinner, and we're, you know, people are recognizing you. Yeah. And how is that weird to you, or is, I mean, how do you
you're
interpret
that dude?
That yeah, that was the first thing.
We got out of the car.
You're that dude.
You're the dude.
Yeah, thank you. JP, good to meet you, brother. You know, I love the question, is it weird? It is. Mm. At times, it's very weird, and at other times, it feels like normal, which is probably a horrible place to be. I love weird. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the weirdness is what's got me recognition is me being true to myself. So it feels like I'm just being more and more myself. And the world does this weird thing called validating me the more I am just me. And that feels weird because it's 180 degrees out of phase with my programming as a child that says I have to be who other people want me to be to get validation. And now the weirdness is like people will validate me, recognize me, because I'm really just being my unapologetically weird self. Mm-hmm. But it really is a joy. I'm very grateful for it. It has its challenges and has its beautiful blessings as well. And it is a great honor for me to be invited to speak at Genius Network, because man, that it's a very high caliber event. I know you don't just invite any homeless person to speak there.
Right.
A lot of homeless people.
But we don't invite just any homeless person. They have to be redhead. They have to wear bandanas, purple shirts. They have to have a shtick.
Yeah. Affirmative action requires you to have at least one ginger there.
So correct.
I appreciate maybe
ginger a lot. Some Irish looking Viking sort of look about. And I like your attire. The attire's your getup, which you're not really in all that much right now.
Yeah, but this is my secret identity clothes. So podcast listeners, I have a ugly gray shirt on that cost me almost $9. Oh, wow. So it's not the purple getup.
When we were working out this today, you had a shirt that said Namaste, bitch.
Yeah.
And then yesterday it was spiritual as hell.
Yeah. Just so people know.
Right. So, your book, why did you write this book?
Yeah.
I mean, other than money?
Yeah.
Is this about money? Is this
No, not at all. Money and fame.
Right.
You know, multitasking.
Right. You got quotes here from Buddha. I got really attached to this book. Krishna, JP's the honey badger of the spiritual kingdom. Funnier than the law of karma by the universe. And combines the wisdom of bearded Jesus with the playfulness of baby Jesus, the Holy Mother of God. Now, of course, our friend Tony Robbins, who's been on this podcast a couple of times, loaded with laugh-out-loud humor and intelligent exploration of the spiritual delusions many fall prey to. Enjoy JP's perceptive underlying insights while you laugh beyond all understanding. And if you've not seen the video that you did at Tony Robbins' event, it's funny as hell.
Oh, thank you really for that. And it's a great honor to have Tony's endorsement. And your question about why did I write the book, I'll give you a selfish reason, and then I'll pretend to be like selfless and make up a reason for that too.
Perfect.
Selfishly, I love the challenge of doing something I've never done before. To me, growth comes from doing things we've never done. Not replicating familiarity, that's just creating a coffin called our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Not a big fan of that. So I never wrote a book. Let me do that. And so the selfless reasons, I realize that people pay attention to the language of comedy. Mm-hmm. It's something that we tend to not have psychological defenses up against. It's kind of like when I feed my dog medication, I wrap it in meat or cheese. Yeah. And it helps the medicine go down. So I realize I can put perspective in the language of comedy, and people will digest it, mm-hmm. and they'll consider it. Yeah. And it may not be for them, but at least goes in for consideration. So a few messages that I wanted to be delivered through the language of comedy in this book is inviting people to let go of that which served them, but no longer serves them.
Yeah.
I think we all have untold amounts of that kind of psychological scar tissue just adhered all around us. Another is inviting people and encouraging people to be more unapologetically true to themselves. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, advocating people look for happiness where it is mm-hmm. and stop looking for happiness where it's not.
So look for happiness where it is, not where it isn't?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of like it's not having what you want, it's wanting what you got. But like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, I don't know. But if I was acting delusional enough to pretend like I knew, you know, and this sounds super cliche, and it's way easy to say and way hard to actually embody. Mm-hmm. I think happiness is found in what we are, not what we do, not what we have, not what our status is. Mm-hmm. We all know a lot of people, and we all are those people who have done our best to make a bunch of money, create a bunch of status, get a bunch of people to like us, and it just doesn't fill us up inside. It gratifies us for anywhere between 7 minutes and maybe 7 days if it's a new thrill of infatuation. But I think our friend Tony Robbins has a wonderful saying that says, achievement without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And I say that Tony says that, so it's like...
So you must.
Quote,
I can
squared.
Confer that. I mean,
Tony says that.
Yeah, I agree. I heard you just now say that he said that.
So, you know, to me, look for happiness where it is. It's not about being complacent and not trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Got it. That's important, I think. But really making space and intention in our lives and in our mindset to create inner fulfillment, mm-hmm. how to appreciate ourselves for who we are, not what we do,
right.
but who we are.
This fits like so, you may not know this, but when we talk a lot about this idea of, I know I'm being successful mm-hmm. when, and that's really a way of like identifying in a present tense what makes you your definition of successful, you know. And I did a whole conversation with Tony Robbins about that as a for one of his video series. But we actually talk about this as I know I'm being successful when, and being able to mm-hmm. fill in the blanks to answer that. How would you answer that question? So it's like pushing the accelerator pedal instead of making success a aspirational future thing. Yeah. I will be successful. It's like, say it in a present tense so you'll recognize it when you get it. So you can only experience it in the present being.
Yeah.
I know I'm being successful when.
Yeah, I love that. One of my favorite wise sages is my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And she posted a quote on Instagram. We never talk. We just read each other's social media.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah. Naturally. Any good
she doesn't know she's your girlfriend yet. Yeah.
And she had a post that really took me a while to process that, dude.
You don't have to be all insensitive.
Name it and claim it. That's what you're doing right now, yeah.
Take a breath, JD, you get your center. So she made a post with regard to goal setting, and she suggested pay less attention to the goal you're after, the doingness, and pay more attention to the feeling you're after. Mm. Whatever feeling you think you're going to create for yourself when you achieve whatever the achievement is, like make that feeling first and foremost in your drive. And to me, I sound like a housewife. I don't know what that's sexist.
Yeah, it is.
But like a real housewife on those TV shows.
You could say
it's more tedious.
As an ultra-spiritual.
Yeah, it's an
advisor,
observation,
really,
not a judgment.
As an ultra-spiritual advisor.
So for me, real success is when I have feelings of levity inside of me. Mm-hmm. That sounds a little ultra-spiritual, but I'm entitled.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
you did write the book.
Yeah, you did.
Available.
Yeah.
Available. Absolutely.
Wherever books are sold.
So I think like the whole rainbow of feelings, the whole spectrum of feelings, it's always available to us 24/7. And as you were saying, creating some kind of future scenario, like I can only feel successful when this happens. Our friend Eckhart Tolle would come into this room and violently disagree in a super peaceful way and say, no, your feelings of success are available to you now.
Yeah.
Maybe what's lacking is your awareness to find those feelings inside of you. And do you guys ever read any of Carl Jung's work?
Yes.
I figured you did.
Go way back. Yeah.
Hey, man, with my background
being an
addict, I'm very open about addiction. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Jungians. He was my homeboy at times.
Jungians. Yeah.
Or Jungians, as the French would say.
Yeah.
But Carl Jung has said, feelings are the language of the soul. And I think calibrating ourselves into our feelings as one of the markers of success, maybe the primary marker, maybe actually calibrates us and connects us with a significant source of power in our lives, our soul. And I know that's abstract language. Call it what you want, Mother Nature, higher self, or nothing if you're an atheist. But we're all talking about the same thing and and just calling it different words.
So there's all these people that are watching you right now. And this is like pretty freaking cool. Like here we are recording a podcast. We're going to share this. I mean, we couldn't do this 5 years ago,
right?
Like, you know, we couldn't do this a couple of years ago at the level that we're doing it. And there, I define marketing as storytelling, and I look at selling as influence and marketing as storytelling. Because a lot of people think marketing, you know, you're trying to manipulate people. Like everything is marketing. It's some messages are designed to attract, others are designed to repel, and you use comedy and you use your way of being and stuff to actually engage with people. And I'd like to have you dispense some what you have learned from doing all this and what the listener and the watcher can actually do that want to kind of do what all of us are doing. I mean, me and Dean have built a giant following of people, and we give them business advice. You make people laugh, but there's a lot of marketing wrapped up in this, and now that you have a book, you know, these things just don't sell themselves. You know, there's something, they have to have substance, and so I'd love to have you talk about your entrepreneurial career, especially for the people that are listening. There's a lot of people that would love to you know, get 100 million people to watch their videos. In we all have our own passion projects. I mean, one of mine is Artists for Addicts to help change the global conversation about how people view addiction. And I just want to plug, like I always do, watch the video trailer of Artists for at artistforaddicts.com, where we actually tell the story of how we're going about doing that. And then joevolunteer.com, which is like something that this guy named Chip Frank started, where any average Joe can be a volunteer. It's like Uber for volunteers. So that requires marketing. That requires stuff that's out there. And when you were at Genius Network, you actually shared your methodology of what you think videos need to contain. Yeah. And I'd love to have you share that here.
Yeah, it was really insightful.
Sure. Yeah. Videos are obviously a very important thing to do for a business. They're a great opportunity for any business to use. And what I've found is magical is when we can get our viewers to click the share button, because they become the marketers of our marketing, which is sort of unheard of, but that's a thing if we give our viewers what they want. And fundamentally, what they want is value. And that's something probably everybody knows, but I think sometimes marketers can really forget, and they can become self-serving and be like, okay, what's going to give me value? But I think reminding ourselves, give value. If this video that I'm putting out doesn't give actual value to people, they won't be motivated to share it. They'll share a video that's valuable to them, but not a video that's only valuable to us. So what creates value in a video that will motivate people to click share? For me, there's three principles or three characteristics. If we can have at least one of them in our videos, then it'll work pretty well. If we can have two or three, like, even better. And for me, the first characteristic of a shareable, valuable video is inspiration. People love to be inspired. I mean, nobody ever went to their doctor and said, I feel hopeful. Do you have medication to make this feeling of inspiration go away? Like, can you make me more numb to this? I don't like feeling good. The second characteristic of a valuable, shareable video, in my experience, would be entertainment. That kind of speaks for itself. Whether it's letting your bubbly personality out, your weird personality, I tend to use humor as my color of entertainment, but that really the sky's the limit. Third characteristic that makes videos shareable and valuable, which would be awareness. I think one of the deepest cravings of humankind is to be self-aware. So something I think that works well in the way I do videos is I take things that a lot of people are thinking but nobody's talking about, and I expose those. I bring awareness to what is essentially in the basement consciousness. Nobody's really looking at it. Nobody's really aware of all this. So when you show people themselves, they get excited.
Right.
Or they're going to run in the opposite direction.
That's exactly it. When you look at your, like, what if meat eaters acted like vegetarians?
Yeah.
Or how to be offended. It's just so, we all recognize that behavior in people we know, or sometimes in ourselves.
Exactly. And the other thing about self-awareness, and I'm curious what your guys' experience with this is, if people feel deeply seen and understood, I think they become very attached, maybe in a good way, to the person who's seeing them and understanding them. And that's one of the aspects of the awareness principle. If we can help people become aware of something that they weren't aware of about themselves, what they were thinking, they feel like, wow, this guy who just made the video, he saw me deeply. And I want to keep following him because I feel understood by him. And I think that's pretty interesting. So anyway, the three principles, again, real quick: inspiration, entertainment, and awareness. If we can have those in our videos, I think it principally gives a lot of value to people.
Yeah.
And people may just become the best marketers of our marketing for us.
Wow. If we had to call that a name and we had to put those inspiration, entertainment, awareness together, So if you put IE into your way you do videos, it's you got a formula.
That three. It's a black belt see, formula. And really,
I just, this the is the IE method of.
I just learned three vowels makes a great acronym.
Yeah, exactly.
It's perfect, Joe.
I mean, that's why I get paid the big bucks. That's why we're doing this. That's why people, they're here to learn. The part about, let's see, inspiration, entertainment, and awareness. So someone's out there saying, well, you know, I think I can maybe inspire someone. I think I can maybe be entertaining or awareness, but, you know, I don't know. What sort of advice would you give to people that are sitting there thinking they could do something, but they're just not taking any action whatsoever, because at some point you had to determine to sort of try on this new hat, which now it, from having gotten to know you, you really enjoy what you're doing. Yeah, this is, you're in the best place you've ever been, although it didn't seem like you were in, I mean, you had, like, obviously, as do all humans, a lot of shit to deal with and various stuff in your life and things you've had to overcome. I think a lot of people resonate with you and feel connected to you, because it's like we talked about this in the meeting. You know, people don't buy from you from an entrepreneurial standpoint. People don't buy from you because they understand what you do. People buy from you because they feel understood. Mm-hmm. And so, like when I watch your videos, when I and like, why was I attracted to that? Well, it's funny, but why is it funny? Because you make fun of things that I actually like, but I make fun of those same things too, because in the personal development industry, as we all know, it's a shit show. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that are reporters of success that don't live their message, and then there's people that are blatant outright frauds that are trying to create a cult-like following, and then there's a lot of people that legitimately have good methodologies and systems and good ways of looking at life. So I have a love-hate relationship with personal development. I mean, I've been through more therapy and more seminars. I've spent literally millions of dollars on my own, and I'm fortunate because I learned how to build a successful business, and I can afford to do things. And I think one of the ways that we do, like our podcast, is we're sharing stuff that we've invested a lot of time, money, and energy to learn, and we try to do it in an entertaining, engaging, encouraging, inspiring, you know, way.
How I decide what to do videos on is typically things that are very important to me, things that I have a lot of respect for. And the caveat to that is I think everything in life has a shadow side. Mm. I think we are completely delusional, eyes closed, when we only see the love and light of something. That means I think we're going to be blind to essentially like our ego's agenda with anything. And so I think when we can laugh at that which is most important to us, we're in a pretty good balanced place. Mm-hmm. When we're just taking whatever it is, a philosophy, belief, career, when we can only take it seriously, we get a little bit offended, maybe a lot offended. Mm-hmm. When someone's at all playful, critical, making fun of it, I think that offense really tells us, wow, I'm insecure with what's going on here. And one of the reasons why, I mean, I just feel like I'm brothers with you guys is, I mean, you guys, I mean, do millions, maybe billions, maybe trillions of dollars.
Maybe
numbers that haven't even been invented. But, I mean, you guys are big time in the marketing world. You help untold amounts of people really live great lives by teaching them how to market their gifts. And you guys can make fun of what you do. And I think that means you come from a very secure place. I think it means you come from a very self-aware place as well, where you recognize, I've got egotistical agendas. I've learned to recognize them in myself so I can recognize them in other people. That way, that which I'm aware of won't control me as much as those things that I'm unaware of.
Right.
So I think it's a great idea to be able to laugh at ourselves, not from a place of shaming ourselves, but from a place of recognizing ourselves, understanding ourselves, and becoming more playful with ourselves. I dare say that might add quality to our life and our business.
When you did your first videos where you're really kind of exploring that. You were sharing how you had done videos that were sort of more earnest or more like trying to be what you maybe thought, treating the topic more serious. And then when you really started implementing these, all of a sudden you notice that more and more people are paying attention, then you're feeling more authentic about it.
You mentioned before I was doing comedy videos. I was on YouTube doing just sincere videos, which are great. I mean, that's me speaking from my heart. Yeah. I was just completely excluding my comedic personality and just a little bit of kind of objective measurement that I find really interesting. Right. And it was about 2 years of doing that, I had amassed a social media following of about 2,000 people. Over those 2 years, which is like great. So proud of it.
Yeah.
And then in addition to those sincere videos, I gave myself permission because the Dalai Lama was like on vacation. So I just gave it to myself to start doing the comedy videos, which seems to be a language of connection, has some of the entertainment, inspiration, awareness kind of stuff in it. So then over the course of the most recent 2 years of doing that, I went from 2,000 social media followers to now it's like 1.6 or 1.7 million.
Right. If you want many lessons and you want to be amused, this can be your new Bible, or at least it could enhance the one you currently have. If you have not purchased this book, why would someone not purchase a book on how to be altar spiritual?
Yeah, I mean, basically,
are they just not there yet?
Well, if they're a terrible person, they hate their life, are really the only two reasons that I've come up with.
Mm-hmm. Or puppies.
Puppies. You know, the hatred of puppies, which is, I said terrible people,
right?
You just elaborated.
Yeah.
But yeah, the world's had various holy books before, but it's never had the holiest book written. So that's why I decided to do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I do appreciate the mentions of it, the promotions. I put my heart and soul into it. It's meant to give you some laughs, some entertainment, and some self-awareness for some deeper messages.
But there's practical things. Like my favorite picture is the unicorn on top of the ultra spiritual sunbud. I mean, that right there, just having access to that image in the book is worth running out to the store.
And honestly, right, look, I mean, these videos don't shoot themselves. I mean, you know, this requires work and stuff. The least that somebody could do if you've gotten any value whatsoever of watching JP's videos is go buy his book, because like, not only do you owe him that because he is entitled, like we and he have mentioned, but, you know, you owe it to yourself. And I really think that, you know, one of the missing links of you finding fulfillment and in filling that one final brick that will make you adequate, because what a lot of marketing does is make you feel inadequate. And by not having this in your life right now, not having this book on your bookshelf, even if you never read it, you're missing something. And so I think the least that a person could do is to buy the book. Now, the most that they can do is to buy many copies, many copies of the book. And in all seriousness, I would really like, I can't even talk. I would like you to go to Amazon or wherever books are sold and buy JP's book right now, well, at least when we're done with this, and comment on what you think about it on I Love Marketing and wherever we post this video, the one that's happening live right now. And then after you read it, because I think you'll absolutely love it. And I think it'll bring. So, what do you hope that this does for people other than make them laugh?
Yeah, I hope it helps people slice through the scar tissue of their psyche that's not serving them anymore, so that they can discover deeper truths that do serve them more, and they can just be themselves more. I think what holds us back from being ourselves is the old stuff that we carry around, our old pain, our old beliefs that are expired. So if this book can serve as a samurai sword to help slice through some of that psychological scar tissue, then I would consider it a wonderful win.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have said that better.
Right. Oh, I'm just reading off the script.
Yeah, that teleprompter's ready to probably. So the thing with this book, I think you can judge the, and you may disagree with it. I think you can gauge the value of most relationships by how often people laugh together. Mm. And when I see like people together, yeah, like a couple at a restaurant, and they're like just there and they're not really laughing together, they're probably not having a very good time. Yeah. And since many people don't enjoy their relationships, they endure them. Mm. I think if you can switch it and maybe add some laughter, you may be able to change it. And if you are enduring those relationships, at least if you put JP's book, it'll kind of be like a bomb along the way until you can get to the place where
BALM.
Yeah.
Bomb. Yes.
Yeah. Is that what bomb? I meant to say?
BALM. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A soothing balm.
As opposed to the B-O-M-B.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Not the. So I think if you actually just say you haven't been on a date night with your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, now you have something you can read together. Mm-hmm. If you just have no other commonality.
You think about that, it is kind of set up perfectly for study groups.
Right.
It is. For discussion.
No, and if you wanted to start an ultra spiritual group,
yeah,
you can do it with, you know, like you could either play Cards Against Humanity or you could read this book. Or
apparently you could even set up a league, competitive spirituality. I mean, you could have a leaderboard.
Read some of the tables of contents of this book so people know what they're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Competitive spirituality, that's one.
Right.
Inconveniently Human. Feelings Buried Alive Help You Thrive.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dreaming Up Your Awakening.
Mm.
See, there's mixed language going on here. Rigidly Yogic. Increasing Your Flow. That's a good one. Veganism. Satiating Spiritual Hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder if your spirit is a vegan. Are spirits inherently vegan?
It's a good question. You know, it's weird. Like, here we are, like, when we die, our bodies decompose. Mm. Unless you're Joe, then they get cryogenically frozen.
Mm-hmm. To be reanimated.
Normal people, their bodies kind of decompose. Mm-hmm. So it's like Mother Nature eats the body.
Mm.
And some would say, like, Mother Nature is part of the spiritual realm.
Right.
So is Mother Nature, is the spiritual realm a meat eater?
Cannibal. Really? I didn't want to say it, but when
maybe
you think
we
about
should
it like
be
that,
against Mother Nature. Mm. Cut down more forests and just to protect ourselves from a cannibalistic Mother Nature.
I love this. I feel like you've made up some words here because there's a word here, mindfulnessness.
Yeah. You know,
that's very good.
I think the book was in the third round of editing with a publisher, and
slid right.
The editor came back to me at a whole slew of words, you know, it was fine tuning, nitpicking round of publishing or editing. And they said, JP, these, according to the Chicago Webster Dictionary, these aren't words. And I said, well, my creativity doesn't abide by the Chicago Webster Dictionary, so don't worry about it.
Right on.
Well, I got to tell you a funny story. So Mark Victor Hansen, one of the, you know, and Jack Canfield, they're both friends of mine. Chicken Soup for the Soul. I remember him telling me years ago that Conversations with God, the first Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh,
spiritual book I've ever read.
NDW.
Okay. Here's what he told me. He said that, like, when it came time to edit, they could edit what he was asking God, but they couldn't edit what, because how do you edit God?
Oh, man.
And so talk about a great way to just not have your book get edited by the publishers. You just say, these are the words, this is my conversation with God, because what gives a publisher a right to edit God?
Wow. Nobody wants to have that.
Right.
That's a,
What are they going to, you can rewrite what he said?
Right.
That's a nice.
Or she or what? I mean, I mean, I'm not trying to even define.
I think we're on to something.
That's a great Trump card.
Yeah, it really is.
Speaking of, you said something in the meeting that you're like, when someone reacts to Trump in a negative way, it's not about Trump. It's about that reaction and that stuff. I thought that was actually a pretty profound thing.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, if you haven't noticed, some people will get very emotionally charged and angry about Trump. And I don't want to discount some of the external stuff that's going on that might be against some people's values. Cool. But at the same time, So many people, in my opinion, lose themselves to victimization. They root themselves in a disempowering place of victimization, getting a sense of power through the illusion of being powerlessness, being powerless, and it's all self-induced victimization. So from my point of view, when we're emotionally charged about someone, and Trump just happens to be a great mirror for a lot of people. He's in the media, if you haven't noticed. So when people get angry about him, I would dare say what we're really experiencing is something we don't like about ourselves projected onto him. The old saying that we all... Yeah, absolutely. We all love to conveniently forget the something we've heard a million times. What we like about other people is truly what we like about ourselves. What we dislike about other people is what we dislike about ourselves. And I think the trick life plays on us is our two eyeballs point outward, but all we see is what's inside. And I think it's from a pain,
write that one down. That's going on the Instagram.
Can you write down that I should write that down?
Yeah.
Because Dean just said to write
that. Yeah, write that down.
From a pain avoidance perspective, when we feel ashamed about something about ourselves, we want to go into denial of it. I mean, denial is a way we avoid pain.
Yeah.
But I think life conspires for us. Life always wants to show us ourselves. So if we're hiding from ourselves inside, we're twisting, contorting psychologically, so I don't see my arrogant, controlling behavior, life will say, okay, whatever you're looking at, I'll just make you see yourself. Maybe like everything's our mirror. So when we're looking at it, maybe we're looking at what Carl Jung would call our undiscovered self. So I think a great way to enhance any relationship, whether it's an intimate partner or a relationship we have with a guy we'll never meet, Donald Trump, even though I saw your picture with him downstairs.
I got pictures with Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah,
and
no hate mail needed towards Joe. You're equal opportunity, dude. Yeah.
I just find people that, you know,
I think relationships are greatly enhanced and our peace of mind is greatly enhanced when we can look at someone we're charged about and say, based on how I experience you, this is what it says about me. I experience you to be an arrogant jerk. And here's what that says about me. I can be controlling. I can be arrogant, and I like that so little about myself that I hide it from myself, and I pretend it's not true, but that's a part of me that needs work. It needs addressing. There's probably hurt inside of it that needs healing. So if I can discover myself based on my experience of another, I would dare say the relationship is one of growth orientation. But if we just look at other people, get mad at them and play the victim game, how I feel, the emotions my heart is generating inside of me are your fault. It's like, then I think that we're in a relationship and we're posturing ourselves for diminishment, not enhancement.
That's a moment of clarity right there.
That was ultra spiritual. Truly. Yeah. That was really good. That was really good. You know, and here's the thing. Like, in, I know we're, you know, you're really the funny one, and we're, I'm just sitting here trying to every once in a while pretend like I might be funny. I'm feeling a little bit of low self-worth right now. But anyway. That, you know, what everyone has said with you being here the last couple of days is like, wow, I thought at first he was just funny, but he's actually a really deep thinker.
Right.
He's a real student.
That's exactly.
And he's really done a lot of reflective work, and he's in which you have.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, that's more of a reason to monetize this book right now and to take a commercial break and say, if you have not yet purchased How to Be Ultra Spiritual by J.P. Sears, then it is time for you to, you know, take a little risk in your life. Ante up a bit. Show us what you're capable of.
And, you know, we live just, with we passion. Were talking about book titles, how to be ultra spiritual. It's like we use these as tokens for really our values. That when somebody buys a book, it's as if holding it close, holding it and touching it actually conveys the things that the book promises on the cover. And so we use that as a token, really.
So let me ask you a question. Who are
even if we don't read it?
Yeah. Yeah. Who are your heroes? Who are people that you like really have helped, that you either know personally or you've read or whatever that you just admire?
Yeah. First one that comes to my mind, John McMullen. He is an angel inside of a human body. He runs an organization called Journeys of Wisdom. He's been a huge, beautiful mentor of mine, become a very dear friend, a brother, for the past 13, 14 years. And I have learned untold amounts about life and myself through him, done a lot of one-on-one healing work with him, taken hundreds of hours of his classes and workshops. So, you know, and ironically, one of the things my hero, John McMullen, has taught me is how not to see him as a hero, but to see him as an equal, as a brother, which I do, but nonetheless, he still qualifies as a hero.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with him for now.
Okay. Okay. And what should we have asked you that we did not?
It's a good question. I think you should ask me what I appreciate most about you and Dean.
Okay. Well, what do you appreciate most about me?
You know, Dean's NLPing me right now, milking me. Got me good, brother. Man,
what do you appreciate about both of us?
Yeah. Well, indifferent. So you right now you seem to be the neediest. So we'll go first with you, Joe. With you, your vulnerability. I mean, it would be so easy for you to hide behind your external success. And I mean, people really value your strategies. It'd be so easy for you to use all that as a hiding place, to hide the real you, the real soul of Joe Polish. But you, I mean, I've known you for a few months now and really got to know you the past few days. You bring your heart and soul. You don't hide who you are. You talk about your vulnerabilities. You talk about your past traumas. And I think that that brings a richness to people's lives. To me, that's something that people can really look up to. I think a lot of people come to you wanting marketing advice, and they get that, and they get great value for it, and they get what they need. I think you are, honestly, I think you're, and I'm going to use a word you probably don't like, I think you're a spiritual teacher, disguised in a good place of trickery, if you will. So people are, well, I want to learn about marketing. And maybe life says, well, you need to grow into your heart. So go see this, you know, guru named Joe, who you don't think will be a guru. So you being vulnerable, I think, is a great gift to the world around you, both the personal people around you, as well as the people who learn from you in a professional setting. I really appreciate that about you.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. Dean, man. Yeah,
please.
Man.
Okay, time for this podcast.
I'm totally
kidding.
Your hat is really black. Really, it's nice.
It's perfect.
One of the things that I've noticed the past couple of days being in the Genius Network meeting is you seem to just care. I mean, anytime someone says, hey, I'm working on this, you're the first one to say, well, here's something you can do. And you have all these beautiful metaphors. So I just love watching the care ooze out of you. And it seems to be a very endless stream. And you have a very gentle way about you. That's just, to me, it's very inviting for people to be around you. To ask for help. So, brother, I love your caring heart.
Oh, give me a hug.
Yeah, I'll do a hug. Thank you, brother.
That's good. There we go.
I feel a little left out here.
See, we can. This is great. You're the best guest we've ever had.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I think I can say certainly the most ultra spiritual guest we've ever had.
Totally.
And we've had some spiritual gangsters. I mean, we've had.
I've interviewed my buddy Ian, who owns a spiritual gangster.
That's, well, let me ask you guys a question. Most important question. By the way, thank you for being on my podcast. I'll have you guys back next time. serious question.
Yeah.
You guys have talked with Tony Robbins, great friends with him. Who do you think has a taller presence, me or Tony?
Mm. Well, if you were on stilts, you would have a taller presence. See, the thing, here's the thing with Tony. He's just a big boy.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. And he has bodyguards. And I can't figure out why. Because, if you attack Tony,
you just need to observe what's going on here. That, you know, I think that Tony really sees that you're, you know, coming into prominence right now. That you're like the future, the way that it's going. And I think he's cleverly aligned himself with you by, you know, having you agree to let him put his name on the back of your book.
That shows that Tony is
by association bolster him.
He's trying to ride on his shirt tail.
Yeah. That's what I think is going on. So I think
this could help.
That really says it.
This could help Tony become something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm in his movie, I'm Not Your Guru. I was there during that entire time. And I'm in that movie a tenth of a second.
That was my favorite part. Changed my life, that part.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing about Tony.
Like, there he is. Rewind it. There I am.
Yeah. And I will say, on a serious note, Tony's UPW event, man, that was deeply impactful. I swear by that event. It was so amazing. And I do want to say, I think the one place that Tony has room for improvement is his fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
I think is holding him back a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I totally agree. Because he's such a force of nature, but that one area is just undermining his potential.
It activates his Tourette's. And it's really, that's what...
That's why he cusses.
That's what happens. I think
it's his fear.
You've seen into his soul.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, the six human needs he talks about, he's a little uncertain about himself right now.
But he needs to be, because it's a need.
Right.
But it is. I have so much appreciation.
No, Tony's great. And what's funny is I sent Tony a text... And we're all in the video, and then he says, "Send my love to everyone, especially JP."
Especially JP.
Yeah, I mean, it like literally was poignant. Yeah. So, no, Tony's awesome, and and so are you.
Oh, thank you.
So, thank you for being on our show. It was great. It was super awesome to have you, and I really look forward to seeing how, I mean, because look, you're reaching millions of people, and it's just going to get bigger and better. And, you saw him here first.
Yeah, imagine what's going to happen now. I mean, if that was a hockey stick to see now, I mean, you're on the unicorn on top of the mountain of podcasts right here. You've made it,
man. Mm-hmm. So it's basically all downhill from here.
No, you're going to build on that. I think you're going to use that as a launch pad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. And thank you, Joe. Thank you, Dean, for having me on. And I love your playfulness, guys. Thank you for just being kids with me and inviting me into your sandbox to play with y'all today.
Totally.
Awesome.
So the website, if people want to follow, is howtobealterspiritual.com.
Yeah.
Right? And anything else that you'd like to direct people to look at? I mean, anything. It could be your stuff. It could be anything that people should read, look at.
Yeah.
Any famous last words is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll just say, leave people with just this quick thought to contemplate. How can you be a little bit more true to yourself today and a little bit less in a worshiping posture of expectations?
That's the best ending we've ever had.
Yeah.
I feel like...
And especially out of all the endings we've had, this one is definitely the most recent.
Yeah.
It really is. So that with that, is
true. That feels true.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. I think it is. But a belief is you're just not sure. So I believe it's true, though.
I believe that you believe that's true.
Right, right. JP Sears, you're the man.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Dean.
Get his book. Thank you for listening or watching, and make it a great day.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of I Love Marketing. If you'd like to learn more about the Genius Network annual event, go to geniusnetworkevents.com. That's geniusnetworkevents.com. If you would like access to the full interview, the show notes, and the special resources for this episode, please visit ilovemarketing.com/295. That's ilovemarketing.com/295.